So, how many of you are going to hell? Aren't you glad that that decision is not with some unelected man in Brussels? You Brexiteers who didn't know what you were voting for. I'm glad that it's the Lord God Almighty who is sovereign in control of these things. And I'm so, so glad that he has demonstrated, he has shown his grace to us. And through Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And we can have an eternity in his glory, in his glorious presence, rather than an eternity separated from him. But you know, in this political world, we always need to keep politically charged arena, really. We always need to keep in mind that the judge of the whole earth will do what is right. I don't think, however, that politicians bring out the best or politics brings out the best in people sometimes, do you? That's why I firmly believe that politics should never, ever enter into the pulpit in any way. Do you know Dr. Paisley? He was a fantastic man of God in the pulpit, you know. So many people were saved under Dr. Paisley's ministry. He's an incredible man. But in front of the TV screens, politically, he just seemed something changed in his persona sometimes, didn't it? And it's for those reasons I never, ever feel that the church and politics can be mixed up. What we should do is be seen to be light. I think there's no better arena for we as Christians to stand for truth and light in the area of politics and maybe in the area of media as well, because there is so much corruption and perversion in these areas. And when we stand for truth and life and do what is right in these areas, and especially in our submission to authority, which is the word for this morning, we demonstrate who we are in Christ Jesus. We demonstrate that we are subject to the living God and to him and to him alone. God wants our spirituality to be lived out socially. And there's no better starting place to begin with our attitude towards those in our society who have some form of authority over us. This point is a common theme right the way through Scripture. It's stressed on so many occasions. You remember the time in Mark 12 when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking and some Herodians and some of the Pharisees came over to him and they gave him the denarii and said, you know, should we pay to Caesar what is Caesar's? And Jesus said, whose head is on that coin? And he said, it's Caesar's. He said, so render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But what else did he say? Render unto God that which is God's. But what Jesus was saying in essence there is actually, it is God who has appointed that authority, so you submit yourself under that authority. If that's what the authorities tell you to do, if it doesn't contradict the word of God, then you should do it. And similarly on two other occasions in Romans 13 and in Timothy and in Titus, Paul mentions exactly the same thing. He says, listen, as witnesses, as those who have been saved by the blood of the, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you need to be those who are seen to be different and submit to those in authority. And so when Peter says these words, this is no new doctrine. He's just reaffirming that which the Lord Jesus Christ himself had said and many of the other apostles as well had reaffirmed. The issue for many of us is around that word submit. It's a word which is mentioned on so many occasions in Scripture. Actually, it's five times the Apostle Peter uses it in his letter here. But the word comes from two Greek words, which means to place ourselves under the authority of someone else, but recognizing that that someone else only has that authority because God has given it to them. When we choose to willingly submit ourselves to various authorities and recognize the subordinate role that that brings in, we actually become reflectors of God's grace. Why? Simply because we're acting under something that God has commanded us to do. Obedience always reflects the grace and the glory of God. Let's face it, most people in this world hate authority. We certainly don't want to submit to it. So when you and I, as believers, when you and I, as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth, when we do it, it makes us stand out as being different. And you know what? We need to be different in this world. In doing so also, we demonstrate the fact that we are not citizens of this earth, but we are citizens of heaven. The submission that Peter is talking about here throughout the whole of this letter, is not a coerced submission. It's not one that you're forced to do. It's a willing submission because of who God is. And as I said again, this attitude is foreign to the world. It stands out as a tremendous reflection, however, of God's grace. And we need to understand, and I've put this in bold print for us this morning, so it must be really important. I'm not going to project this, so you need to listen to this one and just take it in. But we need to understand the point of submission is not self-preservation as much as it's God glorification. That was profound, that wasn't it? I might quote myself on that one. It's not about us. It's not about preserving self. If I submit here, at least I'll be saved from something. No, it's one of, if I submit here, God will be glorified within my actions. And people will see the grace of God in me. Forgive me, folks. I'm going to say it again, something that I've said on many, many occasions. It's not about you. It's all about Him. What particularly makes what Peter says here so difficult, though, is that Peter was asking believers to submit themselves to a government, to an authority that were oppressing them in an incredible way. Remember these Christians? They were not allowed to work, many of them. Their homes were taken from them. Many of them were destitute. They were hungry. And what's Peter saying in the midst of this? You believers who are following the Lord Jesus Christ, reflect the grace of God by submitting to these things that happen to you. As Charles Swindle said on one particular occasion on this commentary, he actually said, so what they're called to do is submit to the people who are ripping them off. And that's exactly what they were called to do. That's not easy, is it, folks? The Christians had to present existence that they... The Christians had to present an existence that was anything but glorious. But Peter wanted them to know that they could have a future existence that would be glorious as they obeyed God. And that's the point of what we see this morning. That's it in a nutshell. The believer is called to demonstrate the grace of God by fearing God and by submitting to the governmental authority that God has established. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse 16 before we begin to look at the implications of that. It says there that in verse 16, live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as God's slaves. You know, you and I are absolutely free in Christ Jesus not to submit to the authorities. We will not be condemned. We will not lose our salvation if we don't do these things. Why? Because we are under grace. But what Peter is very, very quick to point out, and as Paul points out on many occasions, is that you should not use the freedom, you should not use the grace that you have been given to behave as you want, to live a life that doesn't bring glory to God. To live a life that doesn't reflect His grace in your life. You should not live your life using your liberty, your freedom, as a license to do evil. And that's a challenge to us on so many different levels this morning, wherever we're at with the Lord in our walk with Him. If you want to reflect God's grace, if you want to be one who finds favor with God and ultimately be rewarded, We must voluntarily decide to do that which is His will, that which best glorifies Him. Despite and because of, not Brexit, because of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So with this in mind, I want us to ask three questions this morning. The first question is simply there. To whom then does God ask us to submit ourselves to? Well, the first thing is there, we are called to submit ourselves to all human authority. Verse 13 says this, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. We are to obey the law. You know, for us in this church, just an obvious thing is there's certain laws, there's certain regulations that we have to obey just because we meet together. We need to have a public liability insurance because we're an open building. It is up to date, isn't it? Just checking. You know, there's certain fire regulations that we need to go. One of the things that the authority says is that we need to have the fire extinguishers checked every single year and marked down. And we also need to make sure that, can somebody just get a tape measure and measure that aisle? You need to make sure that that aisle is the same width of the door so that people can get out. Some of us need the doors open wider than just one door, I know. But this, if we ever decided to structurally change the building anyway, Ben, we would need to get building regs in to make sure that we're doing. And what I'm trying to say is what Peter is saying there is some of the things that you have to do in obedience is actually a good thing because it's for our protection. It's for our safety and for the safety of others. These are good laws. They're to help us and we should submit to them. But equally, it goes on to say that in verse 13 that we should also submit to the emperor or to the king. The king, in their day, he was ruling the world at that particular time, was an absolute desperate dictator, madman, despot called Nero. He was a power-crazed dictator, well known for his wicked cruelty aimed at Christians. He would strip them of their skin. He would light them, he would dip them in pitch and he would light them, he'd set them on fire to light up his gardens. He would feed them to wild animals. Remember, we've looked at this on another occasion when we were looking at, I think it was towards the end of Romans. He actually blamed them and used them as a scapegoat for burning the whole of Rome down so he could rebuild it with his architectural creativity. And here's Peter saying, submit, even to the emperor who would do these things. It's easy said than done, folks, isn't it? For us who live in the relative comfort and of this particular country, it's so easy, these things are said than done. Can I just say that within that context? We should be so grateful for where we live because there are some of our brothers and sisters around the world that are living with that same sort of oppression right now. I'm amazed that one of the things that this particular government has actually done is it set a commission up to look into persecution of Christians around the world. That's going to be a pretty big commission, let me tell you, because there is so much of it that is happening around the world. And we should be fortunate. We should bless God. You know, that should be one of those prayers of thanksgiving when we come. Just thanking God for the freedom, for the things that we have. Don't want to be crude this morning, but we don't have open sewers, do we? We turn on a tap and the water flows. We switch on a switch and the lights come on. Very rarely do we ever have. I can remember, I was born in the 70s. I can remember some of those power cuts in the 70s and we always had those candles there. I can't remember the last time there was a power cut, can you? Unless Scottish Power were drilling through some cable somewhere. We are so, so fortunate. And we should never, ever take these things for granted, but we should bless God for what we have and be mindful of those who don't have what we have. And we should submit. Thirdly, it says there that we should submit ourselves to the governor. The term probably meant those who were overseers of various provinces in the Roman Empire, those who were sort of like the local government, the local authority. their primary assignment, as Peter writes here, was to watch over the province and to make sure things were governed correctly so that those who were doing wrong were punished for doing wrong. For those who were doing what was right, they were praised and thanked for it as well. Do you know, I actually have a firm belief that you should never have a problem with police if you're doing what's right. Doesn't make me heart stop fluttering. You know, when you see their flashing lights in your wings, you think, oh no, what have I done? Did I run a red then? Did I speed then? But you know, you should have no problem with authority and the police if you know that you're doing what is right. In the grace age, in this church age that we live in, God turns the responsibility of punishing evildoers over to the government. He doesn't sanction any type of vigilante action on our part in any way. And in these areas, particularly as Christians, we need to be careful in our witness in those areas. Because sometimes we can take up arms that we should not be involved in. We can take up petitions against things that actually God is allowing in order to bring about his glory and his greater good. Fourthly, we are to submit ourselves to our masters. You know, it was estimated that in Rome, there was somewhere in the region of around about 60 million slaves in that. That's the population of this country around about, all in slavery. And it didn't matter what your position was within the society in which Rome had taken over. You could have been a teacher, you could have been a lawyer, you could have been a doctor, a professor, whatever it was. If you were not a Roman citizen, you had no rights at all. The Roman citizens, they were pampered. They were looked after by these people who they would enslave, and they would use to do those things, those jobs that they didn't want to do. But you had no rights. It didn't matter where you were in society. What makes this so difficult that Peter qualifies here for us is he's saying that we should submit to them even when they are unreasonable, unjust, and harsh towards us. Do you know, it's a lot easier to do your job if you've got a good boss, isn't it? You know, if your boss above you is actually really, really appreciates what you're doing and thankful and affirms you and is encouraging. I was talking to the other day? Someone was telling me and they bring meals in for their employees. It's really, really good. Who was I talking to? Someone you? Oh, Mrs. B. I was talking to you. They actually bring, imagine your boss. Oh, it was your future daughter-in-law, wasn't it? Imagine your boss taking your breakfast order at the beginning of the week and your lunch order and actually going out and getting you something so that you've got a meal or breakfast every single, wouldn't that be nice? Every single day when you get in. Where's George, isn't he? George, could you imagine him walking into Zeal and have a Mackie D's waiting for him every single morning? David, wouldn't that be just, you know, the bees? What about when your boss is evil? What about when he's wicked? What about when he doesn't? Peter says, you know, when you're in that situation, you submit and you demonstrate the grace of God. It's pretty easy to submit to nice bosses. But think about it, that person chooses willingly to submit in this context of the harshness of the reality of it. It wouldn't be easy, but Peter is calling them to stand. You see, you got to remember that the overriding the point is stressing here every stage, and it's the overriding point of the whole of our series at this moment, which is that we should be a people who prepare to give an answer for the hope that we have. What Peter's major concern is that every stage of whatever it is, you make sure that you are bearing a good witness to the saving power of God. Don't forget that you have been saved, that you have been born again. Salvation which is not of you, Peter said. You could not save a flea. That's a sort of a contextualization of Peter's words. But you certainly couldn't save yourself. And yet you've been saved, you've been born again, you've been brought to life, you've been showered upon grace and upon mercy in so many different avenues. So therefore, for the sake of your witness, to the sake of who you are now in Christ Jesus, submit yourself. You see, it's all about our witness, folks. The world is always looking in on us, watching how we live, watching how we behave. And so the second question really I want us to ask this morning is, who are we to submit to them? Sorry, how? Can't even read my own writing. How are we to submit to them? Verse 17, we learn that the specifics of how we should submit, there's four different ways in which it sort of Peter spells us out. First of all, in verse 17, it says we are to submit to them by honoring all men. Show proper respect to everyone, Peter says there. This is not just a suggestion. It's not just a challenge. The way in which the Spirit of God has caused Peter to write this, it's an imperative. It's actually a command. It's a command to honor the entire human family. Honor is the word which means to recognize the value specifically as it relates to the price of something. In other words, what Peter is saying here is that you are called to honor all human beings, realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for them. You see, it has to do with when you honor something, it has to do with what value you put on that person or that thing. Do you know, if we really valued people as Christ valued people, remember what Christ did for them? Remember what Christ did for you and me? How he gave himself for us? For God so loved thee. No, it was just the Christians in the world. No. He demonstrated his love for everyone when he died. And we know that that's not an invitation of universal salvation, is it? So we're not going to go down that line. But the truth of the fact is that God has made a way open to all who would believe. Amen? So what value when we demean somebody, when we don't honor them, when we disrespect them, when we backchat them or give or say things which are untrue about them, we're demeaning their value and we're discrediting what Christ has done for them on the cross. Can you see what Peter's saying here? You honor them because of the value that Christ puts on them. I always put it this way. Remember the grace of God to you when you deal with other people. Remember what you've been saved from and saved into when you speak, when you react to other people. It's a humbling thought, folks, isn't it? Each person who will ever cross your path should be honored for this simple reason that Christ died for them. Secondly, we submit by loving the brotherhood as well. Verse 17, it says that, love the family of believers. Again, this is a major theme of 1 Peter, something that we looked at last time or a week or two ago. But what it means here is that we must have been it must have been a major problem within the fellowship, because Peter mentions it in writing on several different occasions. This challenge is to love those who are in the family of God. That is, those who are in the church. Remind ourselves again that that is one of the greatest demonstrations that we are followers of Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give unto you, that you, by this all men will know that you are my followers, that you are my disciples, that you are Christians, as you love one another. How are we doing, folks? How are we doing in our love for one another? The kind of love that Peter speaks about as well is not a sentimental, emotional, irrational, nonsensical, fluffy love. It's a sacrificial, unconditional love. It's the highest love. It's that agape love. It's that same love that God has loved you and me in. And because, as we were reminded this morning by Naomi, that God has given us a clean, clean heart. He's doing something within us. In fact, He's changed our heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. We can love in exactly the same way that God has loved. Can I just say again? If we choose to. And there needs to be a conscious choice to decide to love that which God loves. Thirdly, we are to submit by fearing God. Verse 17, the challenge to fear God is a command again. It's an imperative. And the way in which, again, the Holy Spirit has put it into that text, it's one of those present tense continuum. In other words, it's not something that we have done once upon a time, but should continue to do it. We should continue to fear God and walk in reverential fear for who He is. I remember when I was a child, I used to live in fear of my mother finding out what I'd done, you know. And the worst thing is, whenever I was going out, when I was being in those naughty days, because I wasn't always as perfect as I am now, my mother used to say to me, if Jesus came back, would He like to find you in those places? And it used to put such fear in me. So much so that sometimes I didn't go to those places just in case Jesus did come back. But she always used to say to me, and don't forget, He sees everything. But the point is this, is that if we live in that reverential fear of God, of who He is, we should live with that constant awareness that we are under the gaze of a sovereign God. And that should cause us to fear. That should cause us to revere. That should cause us to honor Him in every aspect of our life. I remember one old preacher saying to me, do you know, it doesn't matter what you're called to do. If you're called to be a road sweeper to the glory of God. Because He watches over, He sees it all. And we're called to honor Him. God's Spirit produces something within us. It's an interesting form of the verb in which Peter uses here. The way he constructs the sentence is simply this way, is that it's something that God does. He brings the fear within us. It's not that we begin to fear Him, but it's something as we surrender to Him, He brings that reverential fear within us. Do you know, in today's world of religion, you will totally stand out as aliens if you choose to fear God, because most belittle Him. Most dishonor Him. Most only use His name as a swear word. Most blame Him for so many things that go on in life. Even sadly, and forgive me for saying this, but even in churches, we see the church used for so many other things than the worship of God. And we introduce things into the life of church that totally and utterly dishonor God. You know, some years ago, that Sheldon sort of book, What Would Jesus Do, was going around, wasn't it? And everybody had the banners, the little strips, have you seen them? And the bracelets and everything, What Would Jesus Do? And you know, it's not a bad thing to think in every situation, would Jesus be happy with our worship this morning? Would we offend Him in the things that we say this morning? Because there are some churches, you know, that are no longer preaching the Word of God. There are some churches within our nation that no longer have sermons, but they have talks. Or they have nice themes. And we've gone away from honoring Him. We've gone away from fearing Him. And what Peter is saying here is we should live out our everyday existence with that right reverential fear that God is watching. And is what we do, is our worship, is our driving, is our interaction with one another, does it bring glory to God? Are we honoring Him in these areas? And fourthly in this section, is we are to submit by honoring the King. The present tense of the verb honor means that we are continually see the value of honor, honoring those that God has raised up as political leaders within the nations. I don't mean this in any wrong way, but I don't care whether you agree with Mrs. May or not. She has been appointed to oversee this nation And therefore we're called to honor her. Because that's what God tells us to do. And I'll say it again, as we said it before when we were looking at Romans. That doesn't mean that if the government tells us to break the law, the word of God, that we should do that. But as far as it is, it doesn't offend God. We should live under the authority of those that God has placed us. How do we do that? By honoring the king, by honoring those in authority. Finally, for this morning as well, why are we submit to them? Now, this is a long one. I've got 7 points here. So we could be here. Your roasties might burn, okay? But I'll be really, really quick, I promise. Firstly, we should do it for the Lord's sake. We don't submit because we always love or we always agree with the leader, but we do it for God. This is the motivation that we need in submitting to authority. It's on account of the Lord. Secondly, because God has sent this person to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. Do you know what? It is far better to live under the authority of a bad government than no government at all. Because one of the things, again, and I don't mean this to politicize anything, but one of the things, again, that you've noticed when we've gone into nations in the past, when we went into Libya, when we went into Iran as well, or Iraq, we often destabilized the government and left behind anarchy. And any government, even whether it's a bad government, is better than no government at all. And we need to respect those because God has appointed those, whether it's like them or not, God has appointed them. Thirdly, because submitting to authority is the will of God. Two things specific to here. We do what is right when we submit and we silence the mouth of the foolish. We do not submit because we agree. We do not submit because we support. We do it because we're called to be obedient. Simply. Again, I remind you that the world that are constantly looking at us, they're constantly watching at how we live our lives out before the people. They're constantly waiting for us to step out of line. They're constantly waiting us to live a life which is contrary to the word of God so that they can point fingers at us. Did you know that? You know, I don't like quoting him in any way, but you know, Dr. Richard Dawkins, the scientist, the physicist, the evolutionist. One of the things he actually said, he said is this, he said, I actually fully respect six-day creationists, young earth creationists. I respect them. And the reason why he said, because at least they're following out the Bible. He said, I've got no respect and no time for theistic evolutions who believe that God used these things to create because they don't even believe the Bible that their God has given them. Can you see how the world is looking in on us? To watch how we live out God's word so that they can point their finger not at us, but point their finger at God. And that's why Peter is at so much pains to say, submit yourself to these things. Fourthly, because submitting to authority silences the ignorance of foolish men. It gives them no ground to speak. That ignorance means they actually do not know what they're talking about. But they feel that they've got a right in some way to commentate upon the church, to commentate about God in some way. But in submitting to authorities, we shut their mouths of them. Remember Jesus before? It actually speaks about in Isaiah about that. When they look at what Jesus Christ did, when they saw how he lived his life, it says even kings and princes shut their mouths because they just cannot find anything in his life which causes them to accuse him. Fifthly, because submitting to authority uses our freedom in a way that shows that we serve God. In other words, we demonstrate that we are a servant of the living God through our quiet, faithful service. Sixthly, because this finds favor with God, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that pleases God. Do you? In every aspect of my living. And is one thing that brings the favor of God when we submit to those in authority. Why? Because it's God who's appointed them. And finally, maybe the most significant thing for us this morning is because of the example of Christ. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ should promote our willingness to be quietly submissive even when suffering and can continue to do what is right. Look what it says there in verse 21. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. In other words, he said, be just for the sake of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he willingly submitted himself to the perfect will of the Father and even went to the cross for you and me, we are called to live in submission. Folks, in these verses, Peter simply reminds us of the submission of Christ to the perfect will of the Father. Folks, if we are to give a reason for the hope that we have, if we are going to be grace reflectors in this hostile world, if we are going to be known as Christians, is there enough evidence in yours and my life to convict us of being followers of Jesus? If we are going to be known as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, those who submit himself to the wrath, he who submitted himself to the wrath of God for our sake, who became sin so that we may be freed from sin, who gave up of his riches so that we may become rich, we need to consider him. We need to follow in his example. He who being found in the nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself to become obedient even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place, and he has given to him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. For his sake, for his glory, for his honor, we're called to submit. Let's pray together. Father, again, when we just stop to consider Jesus, to consider all that we have because of him, to consider all that he went through in order that we might have a relationship with you, so that we can call you Abba Father. Father, forgive us, Lord, when for some reason in this world we think that we have some right. Father, we have no rights. Father, forgive us, for in this world we think that we should be exalted. But Father, help us to live with that understanding that one day we will be exalted in him. And we will live a victorious life in him. But Father, until that day, we pray that you would help us to remain faithful to your word, faithful to your truth, faithful in submitting to the authorities that you have placed, so that through our lives, through our witness, through the hope that we have, others may see Jesus, that others may hear, that others may turn, that others may put their trust in him. Father, help us to this end, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.